One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Welcome to Bergministeriet. My name is Robin Olsen, and I'm here today with the always enchanting Christopher Valdekant.
Oh, thank you.
And we have a special guest, Shane, a.k.a. Courtney Act.
Hi.
Hi. Or Courtney Act, sorry.
Courtney Act, yes. Christopher, I've known you for so many years, and I've never heard your last name said out loud.
Really?
Really?
I've never known how to say it. I'm like,
Valdekrans.
You know, Christopher.
Yeah.
Christopher.
You
know, Christopher Valdekrans.
Yeah.
Well, well, Christmas.
Yeah, that's my name.
Totally. Welcome to Sweden.
Thank you for having me. I mean, you haven't all had me yet, but hopefully there's still time.
Yeah, there is still a lot of time. 24 hours or something.
Mm-hmm. Maybe even 36 hours.
Oh, look at that.
So you're here for 36 hours.
Yeah, well, we leave at 4 a.m. on the
Saturday
day, the morning after the tomorrow morning. Mm.
The morning after tomorrow morning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So tell me, what are you doing in Sweden?
I am performing at Wonk, which is one of your homosexual establishments here,
yes,
which I'm looking forward to. I'm going to be singing some numbers and performing and meeting and greeting the people.
So do you, what is your opinion on homosexual establishments? Are you pro or con?
I am definitely pro homosexual establishments. However, I must say that I'm also pro establishments that are welcoming to all.
Oh.
Yeah.
Do you often welcome all?
Say that again.
Welcome all?
I often welcome all. However they come, as long as they come.
Oh, are we sisters?
Oh, you have no idea what just started.
Uh-oh.
Okay, so Wonk, so do you know what time you're on? Because this will air the same day as you're on, which is Friday.
Oh.
Yeah.
No.
Well, I believe my pickup is, he said, we'll see you at 1 o'clock. And I was like, 1 p.m. tomorrow afternoon for a sound check? And he's like, no, 1 a.m. And I'm like, oh. Yeah. So, yeah, about sometime after 1 a.m.
Hmm.
So tonight, if you're listening now.
Yes.
And if you're not listening
your cunts
now, you've already missed it.
Yeah.
Sorry.
But now must be Friday, some Friday in September, around the middle, I think we are, of September.
That's right.
That's about as close as I can get you.
That's right.
So it's all a blur.
And you're going to meet the Swedish big drag star.
Ah, wonderful.
Admira Thunder Pussy. Have you heard about
Admira
her?
Admira Thunder Pussy.
Yeah.
I have not.
She's a funny character. She's gorgeous.
Yeah.
And she has been very heavily inspired by Raven, I think.
Okay.
Because she's like...
Whore.
No, she. Oh God, she's very like
contoured,
very contoured,
uh-huh.
And she's
contoured within an inch of her life. Some might say.
Okay. See, exactly, not Magnolia Crawford contoured.
No, that went past life, and
yeah.
Oh my God, you
it
could
did.
Stab someone with
you
that.
Could.
That was fun, though. I kind of like that.
Yeah,
it was fun. It was fun. But that's a funny story because she came out really early. Admira, I'm just going to tell a little backstory, mm-hmm, because when she was in high school, she did like her end year performance in drag in front, mm-hmm, of the entire school. And that made like the news here, like the gay news. So like all the established gays went to see it. And that's quite funny because you started quite early as well, didn't you?
When I was 18, I mean, there was occurrences throughout my childhood, but Courtney was officially born when I was 18. I was going to a New Year's party in Melbourne, Australia. My lesbian friend, who I think had a crush on me, somehow... maybe not accurately intellectualized that if I was dressed as a woman and she is a lesbian, then magic might happen.
Oh.
Magic did happen.
Oh, it
but
did.
Not of the lesbian sex variety, just of the Birth of Courtney Act and the ensuing years of prosperity.
Yeah. Were you, so the first, was that the first time you did drag?
I did drag in, maybe it was 1995 when Priscilla, Queen of the Desert came out. I was on tour with a performance group around the state in Australia where I live, Queensland, and it was the last night of the show and all of the cast put on an act for the other cast members. So we each did some sort of performance, and my friend Scott and I borrowed the girls' bikinis and found some wigs and some lipstick, and we lip-synced to I Love the Nightlife from Priscilla, Queen of the Desert.
Oh, my God.
Oh, wow.
And our names were, oh, my God, I just remember, Shanice and Skatina.
Skatina.
I actually think I had forgotten that until this very moment. Yeah,
that's a random name. Is that a reference that I don't get? Skatina.
Well, no, his name was Scott, and my name is Shane, so I was Shane Niece, and he was Scott Tina.
Was that when you discovered that you'd look smashing in like no clothes at all?
It possibly was, although I do remember playing a mouse in Cinderella, where I got to wear a full lycra cat suit, mouse suit. And
As you do.
Yeah. And it's funny because dressing up was always a part of my childhood. Even before going to, you know, I went to like a singing and dancing acting school where we would put on, there would be like musicals and pantomimes. But I remember my mum and my sister dressing me up as a bumblebee. At the age
were
of...
Were you thick?
A little... And, like, I remember, like, them burning some cork to do the charcoal for my nose or something. Oh. So at age 4, I was beyond gender and I was transcending species.
Yeah. That's brilliant.
Yeah.
When's the first time you dressed up in drag, Robin?
And that was once when I was 16 and I tried to get into a club. I looked like...
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Honestly, I looked like... I can't even describe it. I looked like a whorey 15-year-old girl with too much hair everywhere.
Funny how people's default drag is whore.
I know.
Why is that, though? And also, is that like the fantasy of like dressing up and getting the boys' attention so you go all the way?
But that's like when you dress up a woman the first time, that's a whore. Also, when little girls dress up as princesses, like I'm a princess, that's also like a whore.
Yeah.
Like too much rouge and like blue eyeshadows and shit. You're like, Julia Roberts in...
That's a whore wearing too many clothes.
Yeah. That's right.
But and then you, I know you became Courtney Act with all of Australia when you auditioned for Australian Idol.
Yeah.
Oh my God. How was that?
I went along the first day as a boy and I got knocked back and I just had this feeling that I was meant to be there. And then I was like, oh, that's right. I'm coming back tomorrow in drag. And I did. And I made it through. And that was definitely a pivotal moment in my life and career. And it was, you know, it was amazing. I kind of, was able to have a career in Australia for many years afterwards. So,
but was that a plan though? Because I've seen the clips and everything on YouTube, and I was wondering, did he, was that something that they cooked up in the production, or was that your plan?
That was my plan.
Okay.
Because I actually have producers' auditions before the ones on television. And so I went along to that as a boy, and I actually got through. And I went along to the next day as a girl, and I got through. And when I got to the judges, I got sent home as a boy, but I got through as Courtney. And the judges didn't know. One of the producers actually somehow out of the... you know, thousands of people that audition, I happened, because they have like 4 or 5 different rooms with judging panels and people going in. And somehow I ended up seeing the same judge who was executive producer of the show. And he was like, hang on, were you here yesterday? And I was like, wow, like to remember, you know, somebody from one day to another would be hard enough, let alone dressed as a different gender. But he remembered So that happened after they'd said yes to both Shane and Courtney. And then in the judges, they didn't tell the judges or anything, which I could tell because, you know, even one of the judges, Mark Holden, I still don't think he knows what
really
went down.
What happened.
He
was just like, Marsha Croft loved it though.
Marsha Hines. Yes.
Yes.
Marsha Croft is from Melrose Place Desperate Housewives.
So she was there.
Bad game.
She was
also bad game. Leave there. My house.
But what, I find that interesting because when you kind of broke as Courtney Act in Australia, mm-hmm. were you ready for that kind of? Because then there was no turning back. You had to be Courtney.
Yeah. I don't think I really ever thought about it. I just did it and I just enjoyed it. It was interesting because it wasn't like, I don't think I was consciously trying to do anything. I think I was just having fun and doing what came naturally. And I think when you do that, things tend to go better than expected.
Yeah.
But was it, this is always, because I think many gay men are like, oh, what if I would be do drag? What would happen? Mm-hmm. And I think many gay, like gay guys are like, but what would I get sex? What would happen with my masculinity and stuff like that?
Oh, yes.
Was that taken into, what were your, like, perception of that as a, what, 21 then?
I was 18. I mean, Idol, I was 21.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's definitely a big part of it. And it's funny because as gay men, we are, you know, shown this image of an underwear model with an engorged penis who, you know, every part of him is perfect. And there's this, I guess it's the equivalent to beauty magazines for girls. You know, as gay men, we still have those unrealistic or unnecessary ideals. Mm. And so I struggled throughout my 20s with my identity because of the fact that I did drag, and it went into, you know, gender identity as well, because I looked like such a pretty girl that a lot of people, you know, would be like, a lot of, you know, trans friends would be like, you know, oh, you take hormones and you become a beautiful woman. And I remember this one trans friend, Catherine, she's Fijian, and she was always a little bit mystical, kind of like a she wasn't a fortune teller, but she would get herself into a state, and then she was like, oh, I've seen a vision. I've had a vision, Courtney, of the future, and you're going to become a beautiful woman and lead our community to greater heights. And I remember at age 19 just being so confused because, like, she'd had a vision.
Yeah,
I mean, it was somebody told it already, and I was like, oh, my God, but what if I don't want to be a woman? What if I want to be an underwear model? And I remember, you know, kicking and screaming and crying and howling one night in particular because I just didn't know whether I wanted to be an underwear model or a woman.
Mm,
and they were the kind of the two options that were in my head. And then as the years went on, fortunately, my love of Courtney and doing drag was greater than my need to fit in.
Right.
And I kept doing drag and I persisted. And even though I had a lot of like there was still friction and tension with the fact that I did drag, I knew that it was the right thing, but I guess intellectually I was worried about all those things about, will people, you know, will men still find me attractive because I do drag? And then in my 30s, it's funny because the thing that I thought was my greatest hindrance, which I thought was Courtney and doing drag, has turned out to be the biggest blessing because it meant that I had to come to find out who I was on my own terms and not because I fit in with the group.
You're right.
And that's interesting because I think so often we think the things that make us different, we wish that they didn't exist.
Mm. Yeah.
And then I think it probably comes with, you know, turning 30 where you start to resolve a lot of things. And you're like, oh my God, that thing that caused me so much trouble was there for a reason. It was so that I could learn something.
What did Courtney teach you?
She taught me who I am, I think, and she is me and I am her. But she taught me that I didn't need to fit in, that I didn't need to be a part of anything, that who I was who I was.
I get it.
Yeah.
But that's funny because we talked about in a previous episode, we talked about drag queens, the first episode where we talked about drag queens with Foto, and we talked about the hierarchies within the gay world, where the masculine underwear model is like on the very height of the
That's
hierarchy.
Royalty in a way.
That's royalty.
Yeah.
But And my experience when I moved to Sydney in 2004 was that you were royalty.
Well,
and you and Vanity, which is another really famous drag queen in Sydney, you guys were on top of the food chain and you were drag queens, and I'd never seen that before.
Right. Well, I often joke that drag queens and porn stars are both at the top of the gay food chain and bottom of the gay food chain all at the same time. And I guess porn stars, underwear models, go-go boys, like the, you know, the male aesthetic.
Yeah.
Because drag queens, in my experience, drag queens are often like party starters, and they're fun to be around. There, although I must say, there's a lot more sort of social and fun drag in Sydney. Mm. In America, like if you went to, you know, like a cool gay club, you probably wouldn't find drag queens. Although in London, like, you know, people like Jodie Harsh and Joanna Lund—I don't know how to say her last name.
London.
It's like Londinium. Okay. Again, another name that I've read so many times but never said out loud. But there's, I think that there's different types of drag as well. Like there's the more, you know, in America, there's lots of bars that we performed at that are like drag bars where people who like drag shows go. Mm. And then there's probably other clubs where, you know, the cool kids go, or not even the cool kids, because that sounds...
The cool kids wouldn't go to a place where cool kids go.
Well, yeah.
That's like, I've heard of this. It's just in my thought. It's this place that nobody goes to, but I go there.
And so, yeah, I mean, in 2000, and what year were you there?
2004 and 5.
Four and five. Yeah, Vanity and Ashley and myself, and then and Dallas to a degree,
yeah.
Sydney drag queens. We kind of ruled the school in a way, which was fun.
And that was funny because there was something called the Diva Awards at Town Hall.
Mm-hmm.
And that was like the Oscars for drag queens.
Yeah. It's kind of unique.
Because in Sydney, I don't know what it is with the drag culture in Sydney, but it's so much more evolved, I find, than here or in the rest of Europe.
In what way? Can you enlighten us for us who don't know?
Well, the Diva culture. Awards is a perfect example. It's in the Sydney Town Hall, like a very prestigious and big venue. It's on a Monday night, and there's, you know, the spotlight in the air and the pink carpet, and there must be like 1,000 or more, like between 1,000 and 2,000 people who all come, and there's tables and they drink champagne and there's shows, like big production values. Like, I guess it's like the Tonys where you have the musical numbers on stage. So people will do big musical numbers, big casts of people, big budgets for shows. And different awards that range from, you know, Diva Rising Star to Entertainer of the Year. There's charity awards, show awards, casts of people, costume awards.
Just for the gay community, or is it for straight as well?
Like, well, I mean, it's just drag.
Okay.
So it's not even...
It's drag. Can you imagine?
What? Like a thousand drag queens?
Well, they're not all drag queens, but drag queens and the people who love them. But a lot of people do come in drag that night who aren't normally drag queens. And it's almost a little bit like a gay Halloween. You know, in America, the people dress up. It's the one night of the year where straight men or gay men or people get to put on women's clothes.
Yeah.
I want to go.
Divas is a bit like that.
Is Divas still on? Do they still do it?
It is, but it's not like it used to be.
Okay.
I think that the gay... I have noticed that gay scenes all around the world over the past 10 years have slowly kind of...
Disintegrated.
But I have a theory about that.
Yeah.
Because as the time goes along and we get equal rights, people... There's this... I love like the Castro. I love like gay neighborhoods and feeling that I'm the norm. Like just when visiting. Mm. But as we get our equal rights and stuff, which is fabulous, we should do it. There's a big bunch of people like I don't need to go to gay clubs anymore.
Yeah.
I don't need to be.
Yeah,
the need for
gay communities are not as strong as it was before. Probably.
Well, the need for our identity is not as strong as it once was, and we're just kind of. And the other thing is, I must say, gay clubs, I feel like in the 90s and the 80s, they were like cool, hip places because, you know, they were the place that you escaped to. Mm. And they were probably always a bit shabby, but I think I've not been to a lot of gay clubs that are fabulous.
No.
I've been to a lot of non-gay clubs that are amazing and fabulous, and quite often they'll be like, you know, an off night where they'll have a gay night in a regular venue. But the gay clubs you kind of wouldn't want to go there unless you had to. And before, people had to, but now they don't have to.
Yeah. I wonder if that is because way back when it was still illegal or people you could get beat up if you were at a gay club, it was kind of in like those shabby neighborhoods, like a bad venue and stuff like that. Like there was a need for that then. Mm. But I wonder why haven't time caught up with us and our venues. That's really weird.
And although I must say, I've been for the last 6 months, I've been performing in 3 or 4 gay clubs a week. Mm. Yeah. And it's interesting because something like Drag Race brings people out to gay clubs. Like the gay clubs are packed on the nights when Drag Race girls are there. Mm. And so that's interesting that, you know, the venues are spending the money on, you know, getting these drag queens. And, you know, here we are in Europe. There's Bianca just left Australia. You know, there's girls all around the world performing and the audiences are always packed. So it's, and they're not just packed with gay people. I think there's a lot of straight women as well, like girls aged 18 to 30 years old love drag queens. They're kind of discovering drag queens through Drag Race.
Let's get back to that. And we'll take a little jingle just to spice it up.
Chia.
Have some chia.
Have some chia. You're just gobbling that. Yeah, eat it.
I was thinking about it because you said what else is different with Sydney. Mm-hmm. Both Courtney and Dallas have performed at the Sydney Opera House. Mm-hmm. I mean, that is just something that would never happen here. Can you imagine?
Yeah, Kristeline there. That's like it.
Oh, yeah. That's
we
true.
Have but, one, we have one like drag royalty in Sweden called Kristeline there.
Okay.
Which is, he's been since the 70s. He's a gorgeous woman. We'll show you pictures later.
Okay.
And here for ACOS listeners, here's a picture of Kristeline there. Bing. Yes. But anyway, performing
in a visual podcast so you can actually see it on your phone. We can put up pictures of what we're talking about. That's why we did that. Yeah.
Performing in all these gay clubs, like three a week, you said.
Yeah.
There must be, because drag is a lot about comedy and humor. Mm-hmm. So you must meet like so many different countries having different kinds of humor. I mean, how is that? Because you must have you can just change routine every country and stuff.
Well, I think that drag, I mean, Sydney drag was, when I sort of started doing drag, was definitely about not just, there was a wit to it and a certain drag sensibility. Mm. But I do think that there's many types of drag. Like, you know, we see someone like Adore, who is like a pop, you know, she's like the Kesha of drag.
Mm. Yeah.
And I don't know, I'm trying to work out if there's a comedy to it. I think she's like an authentic pop singer. I mean, Bianca is obviously a stand-up comedian and is hysterical. My act that I do in the clubs is kind of performing club songs. Mm. I sing live, I wear pretty costumes. so I tend to kind of do that similar thing in each city and talk to the audience. I then have like another show, which is like a 90-minute cabaret show with a live band that I do, which I'll hopefully be touring around Europe next year.
Oh, cool.
I mean, I think that people have seen me on Drag, the people who are coming to the shows have seen me on Drag Race, and so they come to see, you know, the visual and the singing and the, you know, just to be
but a you were a funny
it.
Queen though. I mean, still, have you ever went up on stage and been like, this isn't working. I think this could be a cultural clash here. Like, you don't get it.
I think that different audiences get it more. Like, it actually going across the border from America to Canada, I'll forget that I'm in Canada. I'm like, God, these people just find me hysterical and they get everything that I'm saying and they understand me. I'm like, oh my God, I'm in Canada. Just because, you know, Canada and Australia are both members of the Commonwealth. We grew up with similar, you know, cultural references and diverse cultural references. America, you know, up until recently, you know, was very, you know, familiar with mostly their own culture. There wasn't a lot of outside influence. And so, you know, British humour, irony, things like that aren't as understood in America. Mm. And so it's funny.
Good comedy.
Good comedy is not understood in America. No, I mean, there's good comedy, but like stuff that I love and grew up with isn't really understood there.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, they're famous for taking television shows that are hits everywhere else in the world and making their own version.
Yeah. So did you feel that when you stepped into to Drag Race, like that difference?
Yeah, I mean, I'd been living in America for 2 years when I went on Drag Race, and so I was already aware of the difference. When I initially got to America, I hung out with Australians for the first 6 months, and I was like, oh, it's exactly the same. But then I realized that there was a very big culture shock, surprisingly, because we all speak English, you know.
And Australia and America are quite close. I mean, culturally, yeah, as well.
Well,
compared
Australia is close to America culturally in that we have a lot of American pop culture on TV, yeah, but not the other way around.
No, that's right.
So while I understood everything about Americans, they didn't understand me. So that was challenging. And you know, being on Drag Race, I mean, a very, sort of maybe a silly example, is Michelle Visage's obsession with padding and my bum and my hips not being big enough. And then I realized, like after the fact, that it's a cultural thing because drag queens in Australia do not pad.
No.
I'd never heard of hip pads or bum pads or, you know, maybe a little bit of a corset, but it was never about having, like, if you look at drag queens in Sydney, they're quite straight up and down.
Mm-hmm.
So I realized it was a cultural thing. And, you know, my style of drag is different to Bianca's style of drag. She has, you know, the little waist and the big bum and the big hips, and or someone like Jujubee or Raven, they have, you know, very padded bodies. But my style of drag is a lot more real, I guess.
Did you find that your style of drag was appreciated at Drag Race?
Not entirely. I mean, I bought a lot of costumes and theatrical elements, which is my style of drag.
Mm.
And even those elements, like what I kept hearing was stop relying on pretty. And, you know, I feel that on Drag Race, I've really displayed a very wide spectrum of visual looks and things.
Mm.
And
I actually brought wings.
I bought wings for crying out loud. And I actually just yesterday, like on YouTube, there's a Courtney Act runway looks. And right. I watched them all one by one. And I was like, I go from, you know, my Banji Girl realness. I was in a pair of denim. Yeah, I was in, the theme was Banji Girl realness. Mm-hmm. And in, you know, New York ball culture, it was realness meant the real thing, yeah, like being that. You know, executive realness was trying to be the most believable business person there was.
Yes.
Christopher's
That's what
looking
I'm rocking
a little
tonight.
Executive yes. realness this evening.
Yeah. Okay, proper.
So I was like, okay, I took everything. I was like, okay, Banji Girl realness. I remember going on Google. And basically I'm wearing something that Rihanna, you know, would wear, or something that Beyonce later wore in one of her music videos. I was just ahead of my times.
she totally stole it.
Totally.
Yeah.
All the way from my Banji Girl realness to like the wings, or to my Klaus Nomi look, the black and white, you know, tuxedo-y kind of look. And I never quite understood where the stop relying on pretty comment came from.
No, and also there's different kinds of drag. Some people, I mean, some drag queens are like, I'm pretty, I'm funny, I'm pretty, I mean, they all have all these things.
Mm.
And then there's like, I'm just a funny bitch. Mm-hmm. That's like.
But I thought about that because, I mean, Courtney is very pretty.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's, you know, the trademark.
Like, and you're a really cute guy as well.
Thank you.
Yes, like, absolutely.
And that's not common because many.
I know. We talked about that actually. A lot of drag queens that look great in drag, they look quite horrendous.
Yeah, you're like, okay, I totally understand why you're doing drag.
Yeah. You're covering your face, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's, so how much do you think your looks has played in your success as Courtney Act?
Well, it's funny. I mean, in general, I think, you know, the look is the first thing that you see. And then when people come to my shows and see it, they're one of the things is like, oh my God, that was really funny, or you're a really good singer, or like they're often surprised that those other elements are there.
Mm.
Excuse me.
That's all right.
On Drag Race, I feel like that traditionally Drag Race was it's a very visual medium. A lot of it was about the is about the looks and, you know, the most exciting and fabulous looks. And so I really set out to create the most exciting and fabulous looks that I could. But, like, even when I came out in the bed, I kind of had the big pillow and the big hair and the night mask. I remember that sort of being excited, like, oh, my God, they're going to love this look. And I came out and I sort of did it and they were like, meh. And that was the stop resting on pretty. And I'm like, I came out with a fucking bed strapped to my back and hair bigger than RuPaul's. Yeah. And, you know, I was wearing a thong on national television, which it was kind of like, well, you just came out wearing, you know, a bra and panties. And I'm like, no, I came out wearing a bed with a teddy bear and a night mask and ginormous hair and a pillow. And then I took it off. And that for me was kind of, I think if it was in a straight arena, it would have been taken differently because, in my mind, I was kind of presenting like the ultimate male fantasy, like this gorgeous woman in a bed and like an itty bitty thong and a bra. And to me, it was quite subversive because I am in fact a man. So it was kind of, it was like creating the fantasy of a heterosexual man, but underneath it was actually.
And to that point though, you must have sparked a lot of heterosexual fantasies from straight guys looking at you.
Yeah.
Tell me about it.
Do tell us, girl.
Tell us.
Do tell us. That's one of my dreams though. Like when I fantasize about like doing drag, I'm like, if I'm going to be a hot queen, like I'm totally being a
whore. Was that what you were going for last time you went on a drag?
Yes. Like totally the pretty whorey look. Like, please come in my face. That's everything that I want. I don't want hello. I don't know how are you. Just come on me. That was like.
Bukkake realness.
Yeah,
okay.
Realness. So tell us, spill it.
Well, I mean, I noticed from when I first started doing drag when I was 18 and 19 that it got the attention of straight men, straight identifying men. And I've always found it to be a. I have a frog in my throat.
Is that what you call it?
He was a prince this morning. I have always found it fascinating that as Shane, I can get one reaction, and as Courtney, I can get a completely different reaction. And straight men is probably where that reaction is most polarized. And really it's a little bit of makeup, you know, some chapstick and mascara, a wig and, you know, a bit of cloth, and all of a sudden I can be something that a straight man, you know, his ultimate fantasy.
Yeah, and something he feels all right. Okay, this I can have
this,
sex
I
with
can
this.
Do this, yeah.
I can have sex
because
with
that
guy.
Because they knew that you were a dude.
Yeah, and it's kind of, I mean, I guess they don't see, they're not like given a choice. They're not like, here's a boy and here's a girl. Which one would you like to have sex with?
Here's both.
Here's both.
Yeah.
Well, usually I guess it's kind of like, I've had a few drinks, I'm horny. And the genius thing is women think like women, but I look like a woman, but I think like a man. So
sneaky.
It's real sneaky because the playing field is level in some ways when it comes to that. Like, you know what gay men are like? Yeah. Everyone just wants everyone to come in their faces. So that's what straight men want too. It's just that women will not come in their faces. But you know what? I will.
Oh, you're doing them a service.
I am. Oh, I like to, as I said on Drag Race, I like to think of myself as a glamorous stepping stone. I kind of like to blur that line and invite them over to dip their toe in the homosexual waters.
Oh, yeah. But would you, is it, so you've had sex in as Courtney?
Yes.
How is that, does that mess up your mind? Or is it just like, oh, fuck it, I'm just in drag?
Well, I remember the first time that I saw my.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad. And I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive and June. Olive and June gives you everything that you need for a salon quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive and June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive and June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Having intimate relations with a gentleman whilst I was in drag, I looked up, I was in my bathroom and there was a mirror and I was the top. And
really?
To see yourself, to see a female image topping a very masculine man. I mean, just to see me topping anything is comical, let's face it. But particularly when in drag with like a big, you know, hunky security guard, I believe he was.
Of course. All of my, like, what I think my... yes.
You're burning up. No,
I love it. Yeah. I'm like...
Let's just say, I feel like there's an unspoken rule that you don't work security at a gay club unless you're a little bit eyelash friendly.
Yeah. Mm. True that.
But yeah, the first time I saw it, I even remember in my brain, I'm like, oh my God, why does that woman have a penis and why is she putting it in that man's bum? And the first time I saw myself taped, like with my, not tucked, but like taped so that you couldn't, you know, I wasn't wearing any underwear or anything.
Right. I thought you meant sex taped.
I was as well.
Yeah. I haven't been sex taped. Well, not that it's been leaked. The first time I saw my genitals taped away was kind of shocking. I feel like it's almost what a transgender person, like a transgender female who has a penis, when they look in the mirror, they see a penis and it feels wrong. When I looked in the mirror and I didn't see a penis, I felt very uncomfortable. Mm. I was like, oh God, like where, oh my God, there should be a penis there. There should be a penis. Where's my penis? I mean, it's interesting, but I think most of those judgments are based on, you know, what we're accustomed to generally.
But then I have to, I always go into the specifics. Mm-hmm. So like having sex in drag.
Yes.
Like quote.
Straight identifying man. Previously exclusively attracted to women.
Yes. Before meeting Courtney Act. So practically, like what do they want you to like take out your penis or do they want you to like just,
I cannot give you one defined norm. Every person is different, which is the interesting thing because I don't know, like as a gay man, when I have sex, it's often a similar thing repeated. Mm. But when you're in drag and you're with a man, it's probably not something that they do all the time. Sometimes there are men who are attracted to that, like who are attracted to female looking people who have penises or, you know, obviously, you know, trans women who are non-operative, who have penises, you know, there's a whole, that's a part of sexuality as well. And sometimes there'll be men like that, that sometimes there is men who have never been with anything but a woman. They've never looked at a man. They've never thought about it. They just happen to be in that situation. And even then, some of them, I recall a story recently where a handsome young man was
gentleman
was inside of me, and I was just bouncing around
as one does,
and he said to me, he was like, "So are you what they'd call a bottom?" And I was like, "Well, I guess I am right now." Yes, I said, "But I also like to top." And he was like, "Oh." Because, well, you know, I don't know when I'm going to be in this position again, so I may as well give it a go. And I was like, good on you. That's what I like, seeing an opportunity and seizing it.
And grabbing it, yeah.
So then I
grabbing it by the balls.
Hopped off and he hopped on. And
did he enjoy the experience?
He did. And he was very sweet and I was the consummate introductory top. I did the Courtney Act patented lubing technique, which involves a bottle of silicon-based lube, a bit of the lube on one finger, kind of like you're greasing up the rim of a bottle.
Mm. As one does?
Yes, then two fingers. And then
the whole fist.
And then straight to the fist.
Yeah.
Only in Berlin.
Yes.
He said that it was different.
I bet it was. I mean,
but we have since that young man and I gone on to do it many more times, but without the drag.
So you made him gay.
Well, I'm.
So you were the stepping stone.
Well, I was. I don't even know if he would call himself gay. I don't think he was like a closeted gay who was like, oh my God, I'm gay now. Mm. He just kind of.
Liked hanging out with you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Inside
and
your ass.
And inside my ass and vice versa. And
I've had meetings again. Like that.
Yeah. I have a long lineage. Long. Like a whore. Own it. A long lineage of boys who have said to me that they haven't, you know, been with any other boys and are attracted to other boys. I mean, I'm sure, you know, a lot of us have had that experience with a heterosexual identifying man.
T.S. Madison said in RuPaul's podcast, I think, that like guys having sex with transsexuals or like drag queens, it has changed during the years. Like way back when, because most like trans women, many of them ended up in prostitution. And then if you were caught having a dick, like if they noticed that you were not a woman, they would fucking beat you up. But now they want you to fucking to fuck them.
Yeah,
that has changed, and I think. That must have something to do with like the internet. Like people are
trans porn is the fastest growing pornography there is.
Yes. Really, it is.
There is, and I don't know. I don't know whether it's straight men. I'm not sure who's watching it, but it is.
I think it's straight men.
Yeah. I think it might be because it kind of helps with the fantasy of because I think a lot of straight men have fantasized about having sex with a guy. But they're not ready to take that step. Mm. And a trans woman is like halfway there. So it's not as intimidating and confronting, I think.
I mean, I think that, you know, if you look at the Kinsey scale, sexuality exists on a spectrum. Mm. Kinsey said from exclusively heterosexual to exclusively homosexual. And those two points are the furthest ends. And the minority of people are exclusively heterosexual or exclusively homosexual. The majority of people lie somewhere on the spectrum. Mm. And I think that because everything is so binary, that men, both gay and straight, don't really get to experience more than one flavor. Mm. And I do feel like there is more ease to it now. Like I have noticed from 14 years ago when I first started doing drag that men are more comfortable, men are more like this boy that I was telling the story about. It wasn't like cloak and daggers. It was like he was sort of fine about other people knowing that we went home together,
right,
and things like that. And it was just kind of refreshing to see particularly younger people kind of just being comfortable with whatever happens.
It's really
no
cool.
Drama. It's just what it is.
Yeah.
Would you say that you're more successful having sex as Courtney than Shane?
Having sex as Courtney is easier because having sex with straight men is like shooting fish in a barrel.
And also there's more of them.
And there's more of them. Yes. I mean, just by economies of scale, I should be having 10 times more sex with men, straight men. But I probably...
Because you told me about, because we met this past weekend in Berlin.
Well, we met years ago, but we saw each other this weekend.
10 years ago, but we saw each other this weekend. And you told me about LIMP.
Oh, yes. Ladies Impeded by Malfunctioning Phalli. It's an acronym. LIMP is a club that Willem and Alaska and I have founded. And it is based on the fact that a lot of boys, not straight men, gay men, when having sex with a person who has been on RuPaul's Drag Race, out of drag, not in drag, often can't get it up.
Really?
Because I guess they're thinking about, I mean, I sort of joked that like all of these gay men kept not being able to get it up. So that's why I have to have sex with straight men, because they don't watch RuPaul's Drag Race. Mm. So they get rock hard and, you know, fuck you till the sun comes up. Yeah, it's this interesting phenomenon that I thought was exclusive to me. And then I was messaging Willem about it from Edmonton, Canada. Hello, limp member in Edmonton, Canada. And she was like, oh, my God, that happens to me too all the time. And I was like, oh, my God, I thought it was just me, because it used to happen after Australian Idol. Then when I moved to America, it kind of died off. And then it started again once Drag Race happened. And then I was like, hang on, it's not me, it's them.
So they get the image while having sex with Shane. They kind of get the image of Courtney in their head.
I don't know what it is. I've never taken a survey afterwards, but it could be something to do with intimidation, because, you know, we're on television or we have big public profiles. It could be that they have seen us and therefore, like, you know, I guess like when you...
They get attracted by the fame and scared about the...
Yeah, scared about the sex. Yeah.
But also like in Drag Race, you're really... they always call you by Courtney. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, so it's this weird her, she's...
Yeah.
It's this like the gender confusing. Identity is it's all over the place, which is really cool. And that's one of the good things about the show. Yeah. You are your drag persona while in the show. Mm. But I can understand it with that... If that maybe that confuses people when they see you out of
I mean, television. I guess I haven't thought about why it happens. I guess I've thought that it is like an intimidating in some ways, but it could also be that it's emasculating in some ways, because they're like having sex with this boy who dresses up as a woman, and then they start thinking about that, or they think about, you know, that Wings costume that you wore on the runway instead of...
It's going to come out now.
I love that, honey.
Yeah. And it's funny because we'll all joke. I won't incriminate any other of my Drag Race sisters, but that we joke about, you know... actually, Bianca was telling a story about how she was, as a boy, having sex with this boy, and like mid act, was like, "I just want you to know that this has nothing to do with the fact that you're on Drag Race."
Oh no!
Kind of like, that's really the last thing you should be thinking about right now. Yeah. If you're thinking about that, then it probably means the opposite.
Is. Yeah. Oh, poor Bianca.
Poor Bianca. Not poor Bianca. She's got $100,000.
Yeah, true that. True.
When we come back from a little jingle, we're going to ask you if Shane or Courtney, if you guys, if you see you as two people, share the same taste in men. So.
Welcome back.
Shane and Courtney.
Yes.
Do these two personas share the same taste in men?
Well, not entirely, which is interesting, but I think it's because you may or may not agree with me, but as gay men, if there is a straight man, he's instantly got like 15 extra points, like in the terms of attractiveness, like just by virtue of the fact that they're straight, there's something more sexy about them. Do you find this at all?
Isn't that because we're in the straight world, so the norm is to be straight, so we are automatically...
I don't think so. I think, because I do agree, not always, but quite often, and that's probably because it feels more like a challenge.
Taboo and a challenge and untouchable.
It's just like, it's not that I want a straight man, but it's just out of my reach, which... By definition,
but
makes
also,
it more interesting.
Also, like, straight men are also, like, we talked about, like, the masculinity, like, gay men, the masculine gay man is, like, on top of the food chain.
Yeah, could absolutely. Be right.
Like, a straight man is...
But there's so many, there's so many gay men who are, like, very masculine. They're muscly, they have beards, and they're, like, you know...
Okay, let's get back.
Okay, anyway.
I mean, I think both are true. It's funny because there are definitely straight men... There was definitely straight men that I've been with that if they were gay, I wouldn't have been as attracted to them.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess Courtney finds it easier to get straight men, although I, as Shane, have had intimate relations with straight men, straight-identifying men.
Yeah.
And, like, I, as Shane, wouldn't really be... I mean, as Courtney, they're kind of like a one-night affairs. They're not like people that I'm looking for relationships. Yet as Shane, I'm looking for a lot more substance than just an aesthetic.
Do you have like an example, like a physical something that you can like?
I mean, they come in all shapes and sizes. I don't have a type as Shane or as Courtney. It's just whatever kind of happens to attract me to them.
What else is different between Shane and Courtney? Like persona-wise.
Courtney's a top and Shane's a bottom.
Oh, really? That's hilarious.
I would say that 8 out of 10 straight men that I have had sex with in drag have asked me to top them.
Yeah.
87% of statistics are made up on the spot, but it's a much higher percentage. And I don't believe that they're, you know, men who are used to bottoming. I just think that they're kind of like fascinated by it and they think they may as well give it a go. Like quite often it's like that, well, you know,
yeah,
sure,
let's do it.
Yeah, let's give it a go. I mean, some straight men are horrified by the idea of anything going in their bottoms.
But that's, so now I want to get into detail because if someone brings home Courtney and it's time to get fucked, how do you like gracefully remove the tape and everything without it becoming
massive?
Well,
I'd normally run
massive.
To the bathroom and remove the tape. Like bottoms, douche, I remove tape and then smear coconut oil on my nether regions to dissolve the tape residue.
Oh, and this whole procedure.
There's a whole procedure because getting the tape off is one thing, but getting the tape residue off is another. So hopefully I'm not taped that particular evening.
Right.
Okay. But you can also imagine the tape is like a vinyl. If you were wearing vinyl underwear all night long, you would need to wash off
a little bit.
Anyway.
Yeah, right.
Funky. It kind of just tends to happen organically from person to person. Like when you're in the bed that, you know, you'll be kissing leads to heavy petting, heavy petting leads to removal of clothing. And I kind of tend to judge it by that. Well, not coconut oil with latex. You need a silicone or water-based lubricant.
Right. Okay.
kids, for those of you playing at home.
Yeah.
And I kind of go by their level of comfortability. Like if they're explorative, is that a word?
Explorational.
If they're explorative.
Explorative.
Then
if they like to experiment.
They like to experiment and sort of if they put their hands down there and kind of a little, then, you know, sometimes they're instantly into it. Sometimes not at all.
You have to force them.
Sometimes you have to tie them down and.
Yeah.
Yeah,
shove it down their throat. Metaphorically, I'm talking.
Of course.
Not literally.
Of course. So, 5 quick questions.
Yes.
What are you afraid of?
I'm kind of afraid of the cold, like being really cold. Like I think I might have died from the hypothermia in a previous life.
Wow. That's I'm not really, afraid that's of really it. Queensland boy of you to say.
Yeah. Like when I go to London, I'm like, oh God, do I have enough clothes? Am I going to be warm enough? Am I just going to freeze? I associate like London with being like bitterly cold, just being stuck on a stoop and dying.
So that's worse than having like a brown snake in your bed.
I'm not really, I wouldn't want a snake in my bed, but I'm not really, I don't have like animal spider snake phobias.
Right.
Next question. Who are you secretly in love with?
Who am I secretly in love with? I know who. My one of my Burning Man plier boyfriends, whom, you know, it was kind of like a joke. Hopefully he doesn't listen to this.
Of course, this is Swedish.
This is in Sweden. He's not going to listen.
No.
He, like, we would propose to each other, like, each night we'd get down on one knee and propose to each other. And we called each other our plier boyfriends. And, but I think that it was more of, like, a joke for him. No, but he's my latest crush. I like a good crush.
But that's like an affirmation. If you like each night, say you're my like proposal to each other. Yeah. Propose
that's
to each other.
So cute.
That's kind of like, of course you will start to have feelings. I totally get that.
And then we were texting last night, and he said something about, he sent like the wedding ring emoticon. And
maybe he has a secret crush on you too.
It sounds like it.
Maybe he does.
Is he in LA?
He's not. He's in New York.
Oh. Shane has a boyfriend.
Okay. Next question.
Yeah. Who's the most famous person in your phone book?
Ooh, that's a good question. Who is the most famous person in my phone book? I did have Paris Hilton in my phone book, but she changed her number.
Oh, bitch.
After the Coke scandal.
Probably. After her phone number got published.
Yeah.
That's good enough, though. That's good enough.
That's good enough?
Yeah.
Do you have Cher's number?
I don't have Cher's number. I have Chaz's number. No. Adam Lambert.
Kathy Griffin's?
Don't have Kathy Griffin's.
I love Kathy Griffin. Okay, next question. How did you lose your virginity?
It was to... everybody was losing their virginity, and I kind of felt the need to.
Mm.
And there was this girl who was kind of this school slut, and
she will love.
This
to
was
hear
not
that.
The lesbian one.
This was not the lesbian. No. I went up to her one night at an underage drinking party, filled with the courage of boxed wine and pubescent hormones, and I just started kissing her, and she pushed me away and was like, I'm not going to have sex with you, no. I only have sex with my boyfriends. And so I suggested that perhaps I could be her boyfriend and then we could have sex. And she was agreeable.
Oh.
And so then we went home and had sex and I dumped her the next day.
Oh,
what a so
nice
clever
story.
Right?
I think that was my mother.
Oh.
Awkward.
This is how you were conceived.
This was how I was conceived. What do you do when no one else is watching?
I do love to pick my nose, I'll be honest.
I think everyone does. Yeah. I think everyone picks their nose when no one's watching.
Sometimes I do it when people are watching, which is, I think, when it goes wrong.
Yeah.
Right.
But my dad is a naturopath, and he was like, God, stop picking your nose. He said, there's something wrong. Like, there's bacteria breeding up there if there's that much to pick out. And so... I have noticed that I've got some colloidal silver and kind of swabbed my nose. And when I did that, there was much less to pick, which isn't satisfying, but it is more socially acceptable.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
We had some questions from followers as well.
Yes.
One was from Jimmy Schöning. He asks you, what kind of act would you prefer to be caught in?
Misact. What kind of act?
Oh.
I mean, getting caught in a sexual act is kind of fun.
Yeah. Isn't that the whole point with the name?
Well, you know what?
Or is it? No, maybe not.
My mum was the one who pointed that out to me. Because it was just caught in the act. When I came up with it, it was more just that vanity suggested that I should be called something cute like Courtney.
Mm.
And then I just said it really slowly because in Australia, all drag queens have double entendre names.
Mm.
And I was like, Courtney. Caught in the act. And so that kind of was that. And I guess it was caught in the act of a male being a female.
Mm.
Also like caught in the act, like as a performer kind of thing. And yeah, it wasn't until years later that my mum was like saying something. And I'm like, what are you talking about? And she's like, well, you know, your name, caught in the act. And I'm like, what? Oh my God, caught in like the sex act. Because that is probably one of the more common times you would use that phrase.
I love that with drag names. Sometimes it just takes forever for it to kind of dawn on you what it actually means. There was this drag queen in Sydney. Her name was Tess and last name Tickle. And I was like, that's really cute. She's ticklish. Oh my God, her name is Testicle. Like it took me seriously 6 months.
My friend Dixie Longgate. Dixie, her name's just Dixie, and then Longgate, and then I just got that it was Dixie Longgate.
Yeah.
You just feel so daft when you realize, like years after the fact.
Yeah.
You want the?
My name is Summer Clearance, by the way.
What is my drag name? I have two. I haven't decided.
A lot of hips.
A lot of hips.
A lot of hips.
Or Aria Horney.
Aria Horner.
Which one do you think?
Aria, I like Horner. A lot of hips. That's good. Okay. And I haven't heard that before.
Okay, maybe it's a lot of hips.
A lot of hips. My alternate drag name is Roxanne Debris.
That's a good one.
What?
Roxanne Debris. Roxanne, right. Debris. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I don't know who asked this question. This
me
is the second
either.
One.
Sorry, listener.
Sorry, but here it comes. What kind of career possibilities have RuPaul Drag Race opened up for you?
I mean, they're the same as before, but now they're way more achievable. Mm. I've always wanted to, you know, write and record my own original music and perform it on stage. I guess if, like, Lady Gaga, or if Robin, for a local reference, were to do a cabaret show, that's where I am trying to, that's what I'm working towards. At the moment I have, like, a cabaret show, which is more traditional, like it's got a piano, drums and bass.
Is that Boys Like Me?
Boys Like Me. Mm-hmm. And but I'm looking next year to evolve that show into a combination of original music with the more modern sound. And that's kind of where I'm heading. And I mean, like, you know, when I saw Cher's Caesar's Palace 1982 performance on YouTube, I got a tear in my eye. Not because it was sad, but because it was just like I saw what I wanted to be when I grew up. So I guess that's kind of one of my ultimates.
A little bird tweeted in my ear that you have been working a little bit in the studio with a previous guest of ours.
I have.
Jake Shears.
Jake, yeah. Jake and I have been writing some music with Sam Sparrow, and that's been a lot of fun. I mean, Jake is amazing and Sam is amazing. And we wrote this one song, which is really sexy and really fun.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
When do we get to hear it?
I don't know, next year sometime, in the spring.
Okay.
Is the plan.
Okay. Cool. So if you would, do you know the game Kill, Fuck or Marry?
Yes.
Okay. If you would have to play Kill, Fuck and Marry with all of the queens from your season, who would get what?
Oh, God. Let's go with exit of elimination. Mm-hmm. Kelly Mantle. Oh no, there's a lot of people who are going to get killed. I'd fuck Adore, Milk.
I would fuck Milk as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd probably marry Bianca and Darian.
Really?
Yeah. I'd probably marry Ben. This gets personal. Trinity's very sensitive, so I'll go with Mary.
Maybe kill her after a while.
Yeah, kill her after a while.
What about Gia?
Gia? Part of me wants to marry her to keep her around because she's so hysterical, but maybe kill her after a while as well. Lagandra, I'm going to kill you, sorry. This is awful.
You came for her now.
I don't like it. She feels very attacked.
This is when it happened. This is when it happened. Just so you know, Lagandra.
Vivacious. I feel guilty.
Kill her.
Okay. Magnolia.
Kill her.
Bye. Kelly. Kelly's lovely, but I don't know her that well because... No. We weren't ever on that television show together, so I'll kill her.
She's lovely, though.
She's lovely, though.
You would know.
She sounded really nice, though.
I feel like we probably forgot. Oh, Jocelyn Fox.
Yes.
The cheap-ass version of Courtney Act.
The low-rent version.
Sorry.
And that was only in the reading challenge. You're meant to be mean in the reading challenge and say things that might... But no, Courtney gets dragged over the coals for doing it well.
Yes. So what will it be for Jocelyn?
I'll kill her.
I have to say, Jocelyn was one of my favorites because she was hilarious.
She was. And people didn't know how hilarious she was. Like, I remember saying to Bianca, I think, I was just like, watch Jocelyn. She is the dark horse.
She got funny. I watched the season again and then I was like, this, because I
she's kinda funny and unpolished. Wow.
Yeah, but because I kind of discovered new things. I was like, I was almost seeing all the seasons.
I actually
two
do
times.
Love Jocelyn. The whole saga on television was not really accurate to true life. Mm. We were friends, and she is lovely and wonderful.
And she got married, didn't she?
She did on the final episode.
Yes,
to
that's
her
right.
Husband Andre.
That's right.
And she gained some weight.
Yes, didn't she did.
I just saw like
as a matter of fact.
As a matter of fact,
yes,
yeah. She's
as
all
a matter of fact.
No, but she's all naked. So I was like, oh, can't be naked now.
There you go. Body positivity, body yes. image positivity.
Yes, of course. Yeah. So people can. Where can people follow you?
People can follow me on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at Courtney Act, and on YouTube. I want to build my
Chronicles.
YouTube followers.
Yes,
like I feel Willem and I were just at Burning Man, and among other, rib digging slurs that she would throw at me, she would say out loud. She'd be like, "You're Courtney Act. She's got 32,000 followers on YouTube," and be like, "Oh wow, that's amazing." I'm like, "She's got like 200 and something thousand. Yeah. It was actually, even though it sounded like a compliment, she was actually insulting
me.
Yeah,
she was reading you.
Yeah.
So, I follow all of you queens like on Instagram, Twitter. Like, I'm your stalker.
I like it.
Yeah. And it feels like it's some kind of competition between who has the most followers and stuff like that. And you were always like, look, this is my picture with Bianca, and like trying to give followers to each other. Is that like...
Well, Bianca and Adore and Darian and I are all close friends. Like we message every day in a group message. And I think that we're all... I don't really think about who has more.
Of course you do.
I don't really look at like... I mean, I guess I know that who has more, but I don't really like... compete with them about it.
But I was shocked because when we were in a cab on Saturday night, we'd just taken a picture of like fake on nails, like come together in like a little circle-y thingy. And you posted it, and I just went, put up my phone to have a look at it on Instagram, like literally 10 seconds after. It was already over 100 likes. I was like, fucking hell. I mean, I'm happy if I get 20 likes like after 2 weeks. So
for
it was
me, 10,000 likes is when I know I've done good.
Mm.
That's like when you, if
you,
you've got 10.
Do you
10,
get greedy?
I do judge my photos. I'm like, well, this photo clearly isn't as good as this one because it only got 7,000 likes and this one got 8,000.
But you know, there's a saying, like there's a Instabomb. That's when you get 10% of all your following has liked your picture. So that's like the Instabomb.
Oh, so that's what 10,000 is because I've got 100.
Yeah. So that's something. A success. That's right. Like the rate of success. 10% of your following should like
good.
Your picture.
Good. There you go.
It's something to aspire to.
Sometimes I'm a success. Sometimes I fail.
And don't forget, everyone, to check out Courtney Act
at
on
Wonk.
Wonk.
Tonight.
Yes.
Tonight. If you're listening
Friday. Tonight.
Today on Friday, yeah. somewhere in
And you'll
September.
Be singing live.
I yes. will. If you're listening on Friday, the 19th of September, I will be at Wonk Nightclub
in Stockholm.
Sometime after midnight.
Yeah. Fucking be there. And we'll be there as well.
Yeah, we will.
Totally. And I'll be there.
You. Yeah.
We'll have shots with you.
And I'll be there. And I'll be there.
What is the shot of the moment? Is it Fireball here?
No, yeah, Fireball or Mintu.
Mintu?
Mintu? No, that was like 5 years ago. Please.
Honey, I am like, I'm retro.
Yeah,
okay.
Totally.
She's bringing Mintu back.
I'm bringing Mintu back.
It's ironic.
Yep, exactly. It's a hipster shot.
Yeah.
Come to Wonk and we'll have ironic Mintu. Perfect.
Excellent.
And don't forget to rate us on iTunes and follow us on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. We're at Bergminister. Thank you all.
Because we have 1,000 followers.
Yeah.
Eat it up, Courtney.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Bye!
Bye!
Bye.